The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Houston, we need masks in here. Yo, John's already doing his thing with the nose, and he's blowing his nose nonstop.
I'm blowing my nose because I got allergies. Oh, you know what? That's right. Because of COVID-19, there's no such thing as allergies anymore. You know, it rained last night, right? So what happens?
COVID?
All kinds of pollen falling in the air. Okay, and guess what happens? Allergies. That's right. If somebody blows their nose, they're immediately going to die now. Or is it just that you got allergies? Are you going to catch allergies? Is that what you're going to do?
I don't know. I'm not going to catch anything now that I got this thing on my face.
He's got a paper towel over his... You know, that's...
Nothing's going to get
in. I hope you know that's not going to help anything.
Nothing's going to get in.
This is the way we're starting the week after the Astros sweep. Is that what you're saying? This is what's going to happen as we head into the NBA playoffs with the Rockets going to crush. How about every other day?
Rockets are red hot right now.
They are. They're on fire.
How come... You had to go into the playoffs like not
caring
or winning. So I had Eric Layden send me a text saying, hey, I'm in this this NBA playoffs pool. We have to pick, you know, which team. They have to pick their teams and wins. He said, hey, what's up with Russell Westbrook? So he's out. Yeah, I know, but how long is it going to be out? I said, undetermined. He said, okay, I'm in a playoff pool and I'm trying to figure out if I should take the Rockets. I said, you know, I wouldn't. He said, it's the most wins. I have to have the most wins. I said, look, if Russell Westbrook is out long-term, A, they're not playing very well right now. And B, if Russell Westbrook is out long-term, they could be done in the first round. That's the reality right now. So, no, the Rockets are not your playoff pool pick right now.
No.
I don't know how it works. I'm not sure how it works, but they're not somebody.
Well, how it works is, if you take the Clippers and they win the NBA championship, then you've got 16 wins.
Yeah, I guess you probably get like four teams. Rockets would not be one of those teams.
That would not be one of the teams I would take. You know. So you got to put how many wins each team is going to have?
Well, I guess the Rockets would be better than going up against the Clippers. The Clippers are now officially the favorite. They've passed the Lakers, at least where I saw yesterday.
It's different elsewhere. It's different.
Well, the ones that you know of that you can go to,
yeah,
it's the Clippers.
It's the Clippers, right. Yeah.
And it should be the Clippers. The Clippers are the team to beat, not the Lakers right now. And so with the Rockets being on the Lakers side, you think, oh, you know, I mean, it's not going to be fun playing the Clippers or Lakers in the second round, but maybe the Rockets have the edge. But right now, frankly, there was a time where I was kind of looking towards the second round. Not anymore. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not the way the Rockets have played. Not with Russell Westbrook out. It's a concern. It's a concern because Russell Westbrook is out to start the playoffs, and the reason it's a concern is that he will have been out for, what, four straight days, basically, in terms of rest, 3 to 4? Yeah, it was a Thursday, so it'd be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah, this will be four straight days, and we'll have to see how long this lasts. Is it just going to be a game? Is it going to be two games? Is it going to be something that's going to that he can re-injure or re-aggravate? I don't know. But without Russell Westbrook, you really – we're going to lay very heavily on James Harden, and you're going to have you're going to have somebody else step up and have a big series.
Yeah. The Clippers are plus 250, while the Lakers and Bucks are plus 300 at mybookie.ag.
Wow. I saw plus 125. Well, maybe that was to win the Western Conference.
Maybe.
Actually, I think that was Western Conference.
This is to win the championship. So the Raptors are the next favorite, then the Celtics. And then the Rockets. Oh, no, excuse me. No. Yeah, then the Rockets. And then Nuggets are behind them.
Here's what I've got at a place that you know the person. Clippers plus 220, Lakers 250, Milwaukee 270, Toronto 1,000, Rockets 1,200, Celtics 1,200. And then it goes Nuggets 2,500.
Well, I would bet if you like the Rockets, bet it over here at my bookie because it's plus 1,500 over here.
I think everybody has better odds over there.
I think everybody thinks the Rockets are going to win it all, and you can't blame them. Not with the way they're playing. Have they lost four straight? Have they just given up on this whole thing? Did they not care at all? How about their schedule? Their schedule is sweet. They got a 5:30 game tomorrow, then 2:30 on Thursday, then 5 o'clock on Saturday, then 3 o'clock on Monday.
Completely random times relative to what you're used to playoff-wise. Oh. People are going to miss their playoff games who want to see them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're just like, what time do the Rockets play? Dude, it's already in the fourth quarter right now.
They play at 2:30 on Thursday.
They're winning 176 to 174. It's in the third.
This is like the baseball playoffs. You have afternoon games. You've like never, had afternoon games for NBA playoffs? No.
I like it.
And they're playing every other day.
It's just like the World Cup.
Yeah.
From an action standpoint, it's just like the World Cup.
Oh, there'll be plenty of action.
Yeah.
You got it right now in hockey. You're going to have it right. You're going to have it in the NBA.
You got hockey, basketball, and baseball. You got different times jumping off.
Yep.
Lots of action. Lots of action. It's kind of weird because the action's all going to go away in about 3 weeks. Not 3 weeks. I shouldn't say that. You still have baseball.
Well, luckily, though, the Rockets have home court advantage.
Yeah, it was huge for them to finish inside the top four and to maintain this home because now their virtual fans can be in the stands.
Yeah.
This is huge.
And it'll say, run it again or run it to death or run or see Dick Jane run or something.
No,
what does it say? What is their run? What is their motto?
It's probably for the H. I think everyone's doing it.
Isn't it run it again?
Year. Are we for the H?
Are we, no, that's
this year. I know that was comments.
No,
or,
Is
that the Astros?
That was the Roughnecks. And the Astros picked it up. And the Astros stole it.
It's everybody, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Everybody's for the H. Everybody is for
not the but the Texans are what draft picks? That's what they have. What draft picks?
That's not their motto.
Yeah, it's this year.
No, it's not what draft picks is not their motto.
You know what it is?
F draft picks.
Their motto is just hashtag consolidated power.
Mm.
Like, Bill, I don't think the general public is going to be into consolidated power.
Aligned.
Mm. Aligned. Autocracy.
Demagogue.
Demagogue.
Hashtag one mission is the Rocket slogan.
Oh. See?
Man,
I told you it was run, see Dick run, see Jane run, something.
One mission. Look at that. And it's got a spacey type of vibe, too. It's got a NASA type of vibe.
One mission. Yeah. Mission one.
Yeah. That's next year.
That's
one mission.
They
mission
can
one.
Change it up every once in a while. Run it to death.
Run as one, and then run it back.
Then run it back,
and then run it back again.
And then
no, this year, last year was run it back.
Rerun it.
This year's mission, or one mission. Excuse me.
This year's one mission.
Then, hashtag next up.
And then if they happen to win a title, the one
hold the court
will turn to WON as opposed to
O-N. Oh, nice. You could definitely be in the marketing department. One mission, change the name,
and then hold
the court.
Well, next year, if they happen to win, they'll just flip the words, and then it'll be WON, mission one.
And then we got next.
No, that's the WNBA.
Mission WON.
Yeah, mission one.
Yeah, that'll be perfect.
That's it.
That'll be it. That's it.
Somebody's going to steal that. You should have trademarked it.
All you have to do
is say TM, and you're good.
I don't have much hope that they're actually going to win, so it's not going to.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, really.
You just keep doing every year's one mission because it's just too good to have mission one. It's like, God, we just got to.
We got to wait till we get there.
Was the Astros not? What was their one that they won the championship?
Earned it.
Yeah.
Right.
See, and now the Rockets are. We need to do one mission and
but
the mission
did they
one.
Earn it?
Well,
did they earn it?
And last year was take it back.
Yeah, they earned it.
Mm. This year, we're sorry. Sorry.
Our bad.
This year, it's pressing.
Well, it's just certainly Altuve.
So tight.
Man.
I feel so bad for Altuve.
I can't watch him.
We live in a world where he has been dropped down the lineup.
Well, he dropped himself.
Well, yeah, but still, it's sad to see him
there. It's in the seven hole. That is
so
unbelievable.
Gross. Like, oh my God. Altuve, how do you get 200 hits multiple times and end up like this? They're throwing it right.
Well,
they're throwing it down the chute and he can't hit it.
I know the obvious answer from the internet. How did he get 200 hits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not, what are you going to do?
He's a buzzer guy.
Honestly, this was the this was absolutely the nightmare scenario for the Astros and specifically any individual players. And here are two of them, Springer and Altuve, who are two of the lowest hitting guys. And, you know, the whole thing was, well, hopefully no one comes out and hits. But this is worse than I could have possibly imagined for any Astro. I couldn't imagine it being this bad.
And it couldn't be better for Kyle Tucker. A game winner again.
You know what Kyle Tucker is? Does. He's still not over 200. He dipped to 190. Kyle Tucker's that kid who does nothing that
he's
the
195.
Parents ask of him.
195.
I know. I think he's got two home runs maybe, or right?
Kyle Tucker. Well, how about a game winner? Is that enough?
That was nice.
How about a game winner?
You want to talk about lift? He was popped. That one, it was like up, but you knew it was going out. But Kyle Tucker's that kid who won't do anything that you ask of him, but when he does, his parents get so excited that they buy him a PlayStation 5.
Well, okay.
Oh, Kyle, yes. You got to hit, Kyle. PlayStation 5.
Why are you going to say Kyle like he's a little kid? He won the game.
He did win the game.
Is that enough for you?
He did win the game.
Like two innings before, he set some guy falling down in a hallway.
Because that's what he looked like.
Because here's Kyle Tucker. And, oh, you mean Kyle Tucker who wins games with home runs? Game-winning home runs? Yeah, that
John
Kyle Tucker.
So excited about Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
I actually was, too. Not because the Astros have fallen like to 17th now in terms of odds of winning the world. This is how far back they've fallen. But they had, you know, they get it going in a pretty good way. They've got, and then Machete gets another base hit. Machete's hitting the ball well. And then they don't get a hit from the fourth inning all the way to like the ninth inning. What is wrong with them? How do the bats? Now, Seattle's got some pitchers who, there's a couple guys on that staff that have some pretty good movement. I thought Sheffield had some pretty good stuff yesterday. They've got some tail and on the fastballs. Lance McCullers will get himself in some trouble sometime, but man, he also is just wicked when his stuff is like he's got great stuff. He's got great stuff. He just gets himself in trouble by putting men on base. He did say, "Did you catch when Maldonado said that?" He asked, he was interviewed, not after this game, but the game before, and he said, and somebody said something about, you know, the pitches, and he basically said, Lance, say, how many times does Lance shake you off again? He goes, about 175.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And he goes, and he basically said, finally, I asked him to just trust me one time, and he had that great game. And you could see it again yesterday. He's not shaking him off a lot, and what we're seeing is, Lance is throwing more fastballs. Like Lance is, his command is still spotty with the fastball, but he's trusting his fastball more, at least because he's, I guess, Maldonado's getting to actually call games. And if Lance is going to be a great pitcher, he's got to get command of the fastball and he's got to trust it at some point.
Yeah. Well, he looked good. Javier looked good this weekend.
Javier had one bad game, but Javier looked really good. Fromber, it's not a great hitting team, but Fromber, I mean, it's hard to find a bad outing for Fromber.
I know, right? And he's 1-2 because he got no run support.
Blake Taylor,
but
got
he's been totally sweet. I mean, you know what? Even without, I mean, they're getting it done. They're you know, the last look at them. Well,
not against the good teams.
Well, the A's, they gave up three, and they gave up three in 13 innings.
But when Seattle comes to town, Seattle's a major
Seattle's
trouble.
Awesome. Seattle scored four runs all weekend.
Don't step to us, Seattle, because you're in major trouble.
24 out of 26, they've beaten them now. If they could just play Seattle every day, do you know how many? They'd be the greatest team in baseball history. If they could play Seattle every day, they would be the greatest team ever.
They'd be the worst team ever if they played Oakland every day.
Look, they scored some runs in San Francisco. The pitching did its job. They actually did a nice job in Oakland and lost all three because they couldn't hit. While the bullpen has been a disaster, it's still about the offense.
The starters,
they got to be more consistent. They're terrible. How about, like you said, you don't get a hit for five innings? What the hell are you doing?
That's unbelievable. I mean, this is the Astros. This is an award-winning offense. This was a historic offense back in 2017.
It's 7:14 ESPN. Hey, that sounds like a jab.
Actually, it is. I want to tell you about Side Jab. I want you guys to return here in about 4 minutes, and here's why. Or just stay with us right now, because you do not want to miss this. Something massive happened. I give Dell credit. He's the first one who saw it and sent it to me. I sent it to a couple people around the NFL. I sent it to Bun B, who freaked out about this. This is major, major positive news on the COVID front that we want to tell you about. Major. As it pertains to being able to go be in a crowd. Site Jab. How about this? Site Jab is also major news. Had one of our advertisers tell us they use Site Jab, and what they did was had them completely redo their website because they weren't happy with their website. Site Jab started working with them through Zoom. And what you have with Site Jab, they're a local company. They've been doing this for a couple of decades now, and they have continued to progress along with, you know, the latest website technology throughout the two decades. And what you have now is really a targeted marketing strategy and with design experts. And these design experts understand how to get people engaged with your website, how to create a website that flows, make sure that the user interface is such that it's going to help translate those eyes into leads and those leads into business for you. Small to medium-sized businesses, you really need to have a website that allows customers to interact with your company to the best, you know, the best ability possible. The best way to do that is learn about their services and their web design and their portfolios at sitejab.com. Sitejab.com. You can go click portfolio on the website and you have a chance to check out the work that they've done for yourself. Sitejab.com, S-I-T-E-Jab.com.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off.
Hey, time to talk about Absolute Marble and Granite. That's my man, Jeff Aronoff, over there. And Jeff, as a matter of fact, I just talked to him yesterday, texted him, was talking about what he's going to do for us, putting in a countertop for our stove area, because it's ridiculous. It's like it's all stove and there's no countertop there to put a pot down. What are you doing? So Jeff is going to expand it. He's going to put different countertop on it, make it nicer. I mean, the whole thing was just a disaster. So, well, Jeff is going to come over and he's going to fix that. And he's going to fix the backing, the backsplash of the countertop as well. And he's going to do it on the outside and fix our outdoor kitchen as well. This is what Jeff does. It's what Jeff does every single day. He's got so many crews out there. When hotels go up, he's in there putting in their countertops, or he's putting in their vanities, or he's putting in whatever it is that Jeff is putting in. This is what he does every single day, and he will do it for you. Give him a call. You get 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. He loves the 97.5 listeners. Big jobs only. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, let's go. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, whatever you want. You got it right here on ESPN 97.5. Come get some. But we've got there's a huge announcement this weekend. Saliva Direct. So this is a test developed by Yale, backed by the NBA. NBA put money into it to help Yale develop it. And
they've also tested. The NBA, inside their bubble, very quietly, has been testing it. They do nose swabs. They do saliva. And they're finding the results are not only the same, but in some cases, the saliva test is picking it up more directly. And it makes sense. We talked about this. How in the world can you get it from droplets, but you're not testing saliva? That never made any sense.
Right. So it's 90% accurate the first time, but if you do it twice, it's 99% accurate. I guess that's the math involved in
Well, so that's what ESPN had, but in the article I saw, or in the...
well, that's the one I saw, too.
Efficacy testing I saw in... I saw it actually was higher than that. The first time around. The first time around was closer to 92 to 96%.
Oh.
Was what I saw in the original, I think the original paper that was written. But But ESPN had 90, which would still be good in a second. If you take it a second time, it basically
is, yeah.
Now, here are the big features. These are the headlines. Number one, it's cheap and inexpensive. It's your own saliva. It's easy to test. So let's start with that. People who don't want the nose swabs, and I'm raising my hand right now, this makes it way easier to test. So more people could get tested than ever before because they'd be less afraid to go get this test. Number two, it is it is going to be very inexpensive relative to what some of the other testing procedures could
That's
be.
A key.
This is going to be very key.
So you can test multiple times. Right.
It costs $4 to do it. Now, it's not going to cost you for it. It costs closer to, they think, between $10 and $20. But it's not being made to make much of a profit at all. Yale is not doing this because, and it's a good thing Yale's doing it and not some big pharma. But Yale, with the backing of NBA Players Association and the NBA, has created this. It's going to be relatively inexpensive. It can, the turnaround is going to be 1 to 2 hours max, but it can be handled by any
site,
any lab. Any lab will be able to do this. It's not hard. So it's inexpensive. It's not as intrusive as, obviously, as a nasal swab. The turnaround, they're working on a rapid one. They call it Saliva Direct Fast is the name. And the guy, one of the guys who's in charge of it said, this is going to be something that is going to be coming even sooner, where the turnaround can be faster than an hour, because the turnaround can be very, very fast. And it's accurate. It's an accurate test. So it checks off all the boxes. It's easy to, it's going to track. You don't have to send out your results and fly them somewhere. The 3 to 5 day thing is over with Saliva Direct. It's been approved by FDA for emergency use. And did you know that they're doing this already? It's not Saliva Direct, but they're doing the one from Rutgers that was first started that's also accurate. That's at Minute Maid Park. I read an article from August 11th. I just read it on Saturday. They're doing 2,000 a day over at Minute Maid Park.
Really?
For free. 2,000 tests a day over at Minute Maid Park are the saliva test. It's not Saliva Direct, but it's another company that's
Then why do they have issues? Oh, well, maybe it was before.
There is a test for $75 to $100 you can do, but it's got the same level of accuracy. It's more expensive. That's the big key with this one. This allows you, and why is this so huge? Well, if you don't see it, I mean, I'm not sure if you're looking at this the right way. This allows you to test multiple people at a time. They've got testing which is called pooling. You read about this, Dell? Do you know about this? I've heard about it in the past because at first it didn't make sense, and then I understood what they were saying. Pooling is, let's say you've got you want to get 10,000 people into the stands. What you can do is take the results of 50 people, put it all together. So let's say they were their blood instead of their saliva, so you don't gross out. Let's say the small amount of blood droplets, it doesn't take much. They put all 50 of them in one container. They test that. If nobody has COVID, you 50 can go. One test, basically, one checkup has now resulted in plus 50. Like, you 50 into the stands, you're all good. You don't have COVID. If it comes back positive at all, then we got to retest you individually because one of you has COVID or more of you have COVID. What it does is it's a way to speed up the process. If your COVID numbers are low, it allows, with your total group, it allows for massive amounts of people to get in much, much more quickly. So this is going to be big potentially, especially with the fast turnaround. Once they get the really rapid results, it could be huge for restaurants, definitely for travel, airline yeah. industry, for concerts, which is why Bun was all excited about it, and then for sporting events, which is the thing that we care about probably the most here, is you got a chance to not only test high school athletes, but I don't know, let's just say theoretically that you had a conference that was shut down and you had other conferences that weren't shut down. Well, the conferences that weren't shut down now could have saliva tests that could be tested within an hour on their own campus, and they could get results for all their players. Where other conferences that had shut down in this theoretical world, where a conference had shut down without waiting a little bit longer to see what happens, since it is a fluid situation, COVID, and always has been. Let's say there was a conference, we'll call them
Big Ben.
Let's call them
the Big Ben Conference.
Yeah, that's fine. The Big Ben Conference.
Right.
and they say, hey, wait a minute. You mean we could do a saliva test and it wouldn't be super expensive? All those millions of dollars we would have had to spend just got cut into the thousands, and we could get results back even faster? Huh.
Would this Big Ben conference also have, let's say in this hypothetical, this Big Ben conference also had like a mutiny with letters being written by hypothetically parents of players in the Big Ben conference, or maybe their best player in the Big Ben conference may have started something
with a petition. Yep.
What if the Big Ben conference would have waited for the saliva directing? Do you think the Big Ben would have been dealing with all these issues?
I think the Big Ben would have said, wow, this is a game changer.
Wait a minute. How about this though? Since the season really doesn't have to start until, let's hypothetically say, I don't know, September 28th or October 1st or somewhere in that neighborhood.
Right.
Why can't the Big Ben Conference just go back and play? I don't know.
Well, there's the 1-2-3 no backs rule.
No. There's no 1-2-3 no backs rule.
I think that's in one of the bylaws.
No, not. Why can't the Big Ben just go, you know what?
I think
here's a development.
I think the Big Ben can, by the way, and I think this week it's going to pick up steam. I think the saliva direct is a game changer for any theoretical.
It's only August 17th, and you've got well over a month.
Which is why you probably, like I said, a fluid situation. I know that how long. I don't understand how, whether it's positive to negative or now negative to positive. Why is it so hard to understand that things are not set in stone with this at all?
No.
At all. By the way, this could help kids getting back to school or not going back.
Well, here's the problem: is kids going back to school, and we'll talk about that.
Well,
on the other side.
That's a major, major issue that we'll get to.
Yeah. 727.
It seems like the players' bubble is fine. It's those other bubbles where people are slamming their privates into each other at bars that's really turning into the big problem.
Do you think?
I mean, I saw a lot of videos.
I don't see a problem with that.
I saw a lot of videos of clusters in North Carolina. Apparently, their sorority fraternity houses are just a mess.
And North Georgia,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I saw that too. And FAU, they're having a party.
What? Like sororities and fraternities and college students aren't.
They're not adhering to social distancing and they're not taking it serious?
Oh, you don't think that's not alarming or even furthering the Big Ben's parents? Hey, our kids can't play because it's not safe, hypothetically. But you know, what's so safe about the hypothetical parties that are going on your campus right now where my kids would be involved in anyway since you're having them on campus?
Yeah.
The Big Ben's got problems.
My wife drove by this. She drove by this. Let's just call it, it's a bar / restaurant on Fountain View between Richmond and Westheimer. You've probably seen it. They have a lot of people come there on a Sunday. As we're driving by, she goes, like an innocent little child, she goes, hey, that doesn't look like much social distancing. No, really. I'm sorry. But we're happy you're out of your coma, though.
But that bar where you could see inside the bar. And
yeah. The deck and like... She goes, that doesn't look like there's any social distancing there. And I don't see any masks. Oh, you don't say. Have you not even turned on the internet at all? You can see millions of videos like this right now anytime you want.
Right. That's not happening. 729 ESPN 97.5. You need some insurance on this.
TGS Insurance can help you out, guys. Homeowners Insurance. Heard a story. As a matter of fact, my wife was with another family who... His friends, my son is friends with another kid at school. And my wife got a chance to talk to their family. They moved into a house, and then 4 days later, they're wiped out by, the house was wiped out by the hurricane back in 2017. And luckily, they had homeowners insurance and they had flood insurance. I'm here to tell you that it's important to have A-rated insurance. It's very important not to get cut rate insurance. That's not what I'm suggesting. What I'm suggesting is that you get that A-rated insurance, that you make a decision on your flood insurance or not, because, you know, that's sold separately. Do you want your flood insurance? Do you want your homeowner's insurance to be A-rated? Absolutely. Absolutely. But what you don't want to do is just pay ridiculous amounts. You don't want to do that. If you had the same hamburger, you wouldn't want to sell, you know, buy it for $40 when you could buy it for $6. That's just the way it is. Same thing with your homeowner's insurance. You got a chance to get A-rated insurance, but get it at a much more reasonable price through TGS Insurance. They shop a variety of A-rated insurance companies, and they fight for your business by offering you very competitive rates. Text the word money to 232323. That's money to 232323, and they are going to give you a firm quote within 15 seconds. And you can make your decision from there. Text the word money to 232323 and start saving money on your homeowner's insurance without sacrificing quality and coverage at tgsinsurance.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 732 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. So they had outbreaks. Apparently they're having issues at Alabama. They had issues at Oklahoma, but they have 9 players test. 11? What was it, 9 or 11?
It was 9. And 9. Lincoln Riley said, kind of regret letting them be free for a week.
Lincoln Riley let them go home. Let them out.
Now he said about most of the players stayed in Norman or in the surrounding area, but he said, if I had to, I may not have just given them a week to themselves.
So, but what's the difference if they stay? I saw that Darren Revelle. There's proof a lot of these players stayed in the Norman area. Yeah, and they went out and they went to places they shouldn't have gone.
Yeah, the question.
And in the Norman area, you can't. There's no COVID.
I guess some people are arguing that they got it when they went home. But the real important thing is when you take away the structure of I got to be the practice. I got to train every day.
Mm-hmm.
Then this is that's when the issues come up. When you remove the structure of football and you don't have to worry about football for a week, these are the things that happen.
That's exactly what happens when you let them go. And listen, and it was all about letting them go home and not having that. It's exactly what we've been talking about.
Literally,
they're so much safer in an environment with protocol and supervision.
So when I first heard that and I brought it to the show, was Dr. Seals. And when we talked about the NFL, I had my NFL meeting. And they talked about the NFL protocol and talked about the test, the numbers, and the safety of being at the spot. And it made complete and total sense at the time they said it. This is an example of, and we see it with the NBA bubble. I mean, obviously it makes sense. You're going to have some bad actors from time to time who sneak out. How about Clevenger and Plesac getting optioned out of there?
Yeah.
Cleveland, basically, they're so pissed at them, the players, they kicked them out of there. They're like, yeah, you're off the team for this year. They juiced them out of there, and of course Clevenger's like, this is the media's fault.
No, but it wasn't Clevenger. It was Plesac said that.
Plesac did?
Plesac said it.
Okay.
Plesac shot at the media.
Yeah, because the media made him go do that.
Yeah, it was the media that did it.
It's like, it was a party, but there was no more than 8. We were socially distanced. Like, you weren't supposed to do any of that stuff, though. Remember?
Mm. Yeah.
They asked you not to do any of that stuff because you now put everybody at risk. So anyway, and it's really a bigger deal because you've got the Cardinals just played their first game since the middle of July just the other day.
They're in second place at 4-4.
Yeah, they've played 8 games now. So anyway, if there's ever been a case closed, bang the gavel, it's this. 9, let's see, Oklahoma's going just fine. Then they let the players go. It also goes to show you the players are going to maybe take chances they shouldn't take when they get to go off by themselves. I mean, it's a double-edged. It's not a double-edged sword, but it's more telling than just, oh, other people have it. And yes, other people have it, but it shows you how aggressively it's transmitted, and then B, how players are going to be around other people who can get it. That's just how it goes when they're not in a bubble situation. So some would argue that, this shows that it's unlikely to work now that there are college students all around. They're all partying. They're all spreading it. Players are not going to be in a bubble. You're asking them to, but you can't make them. So this is going to spread, and this is going to knock out college football. Because I read that, too. I read that article that this is a great example of, and all these kids partying shows that it's going to be impossible for college football to keep people from partying and getting this.
Yeah. No. Well, it's including college. Players. It's college. It's idiot kids. What are you going to do? They're idiots. That's what they do.
So how are you going to keep college football players if they're idiots from doing this?
Well, this testing is going to be huge.
They're rolling it out. I'm just reading. They're rolling it out this week. All of these quote-unquote reagents that they need, they're all readily – there shouldn't be a huge bottleneck here from a supply chain standpoint. So they should be able to get this done quickly and get these to universities. Mm-hmm. I don't see why they wouldn't.
No. And when they do, the Big Ben Conference is going to be look like a bunch of idiots.
Well, Justin Fields was on ESPN Radio this morning, and he said, if the ACC, Big 12, and SEC can play, I'm not sure why we can't. So he's full on ahead, and he's the biggest name in that conference. So the Big Ten has acknowledged the petition, which at the time of acknowledgement was last night, had over 150,000 signees, and they're only looking for about 75. They already
Of what? Just people on the internet?
You just put it out on Twitter.
I thought it was players. Okay.
Well, the players are behind it too, but it's just people saying, hey, let's play. And then we have the letters from the football parents of Nebraska and Ohio State. They're all involved. I don't know what the Big Ten's going to do, but apparently that whole it was 12-2 thing probably wasn't it probably wasn't 12-2. It was probably a little closer than that considering the backlash you're getting.
I bet it was. Let me ask you this. Based on how things get politicized and things like that, I've seen people on Twitter. Look, I'm not a big – this is tricky. There is in some cases, myocarditis. We've got Dr. Burkhalter's going to be up here tomorrow. He's going to stop in our studio and tell us all about the myocarditis stuff. This stuff is fascinating how – like he said, look, it is something that's serious. Like myocarditis, if it's not identified and not treated, can be serious. But it can be identified. You got to have the echocardiogram, but once they find it, it can be treated. Like and as Dell talked about from the very beginning – this isn't an unknown. He said the same thing. This does happen with novel viruses where this is something that we do know about. This is not an unknown that we're just finding out about. What they found out about is it's happening with some asymptomatic people. That's one of the things they found out about. But it is treatable. And it can be, and it can be corrected. And so as long as these programs are getting the echocardiograms done as well, which is different than an EKG. As long as they're getting the echocardiograms done on players before, which they should be anyway, and then because in case of a large enlarged heart, guys can die from that, Hank Gathers.
Yeah.
But as long as they're getting that done before you even take part, and then after there's been a COVID incident or you test them a second time at some point, you should be able to continue on with this.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not like every kid that catches COVID is going to get myocarditis. It's just not going to happen.
Well, the SEC is releasing their schedule tonight. I think 6 o'clock our time on the SEC network. If they're smart, if those coaches are smart, because I imagine they'll be interviewing coaches, every coach should come on and talk to their fan base and go, "Wear an effing mask, please." Because a lot of their people would probably say, "Well, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that serious." Yeah, the coach might even agree. But you know what? If the numbers go up, you make it tough for us to justify playing. So even if you're going to be fine, we don't need you testing positive. That should be the message. We understand it's not going to hurt all of you. But if the numbers go up, it hurts our chances to play.
Oh, 100%.
So stop doing dumb stuff. Keep the numbers low so we can play.
So I have heard names like Trey Smith, Alex Leatherwood. Trey Smith's the top offensive lineman in football this year. One of them. From Tennessee, who had a health issue last year. Alex Leatherwood was a tackle who decided to go back to school at Tennessee. I was told yesterday by somebody who is on the performance side that there's going to be a mass exodus of SEC players coming probably this week. And one of the reasons is because, we haven't heard a lot of opt-outs from SEC players. That's something we haven't heard. And one of the things that has caused a great deal of problems is these players have seen these videos. And more importantly, what I was told is just driving around campus, it's just around Alabama specifically. It's unbelievable around campus. And they just don't trust that they're not. And these are big guys, by the way. A lot of offensive linemen, defensive linemen who are the most afraid of this. They just don't have a trust that the general public is going to take it seriously, which is going to increase their chances since they aren't in a bubble. So I think you're going to see some really good players opting out. And unfortunately, it's going to be, I think, a lot of, I think some offensive and defensive linemen are going to be the ones who are out of there. Just like we saw in the NFL, the big guys are the ones who are most afraid about the underlying health issues, diabetes, things like that.
As well they should. As well they should. So, well, but this is a huge, huge step for college football and for all of sports, actually, and maybe getting back out there. And you know, it's funny. Jackie asked the question, why can an independent league have fans out there but the Astros can't? Why
lack
is
of
that?
Attention. Lack of, I think it's simply a lack of attention. Like,
so,
the, like
so,
the
so that's not important?
It well, people... Look, I talked about it before. I mean, when the MLS was doing their thing, initially all the outbreaks, people were like, oh, see, told you can't play sports. Meanwhile, the NWSL had no outbreaks, but they're a women's league, so how much attention were they initially getting? In fact, people didn't even acknowledge that they were actually starting. It's about attention. The Skeeters can do it, and now we're not getting the numbers from Sugarland. I don't know how you even know if someone who attended that event, those events are leading to outbreaks in places. Who knows?
I've seen pictures. You're not by anyone.
Yeah.
So you're not by anyone.
So that can be done, but they're the Skeeters.
I plan on going
Thursday.
And
that's why there's no attention. There's
and
no attention.
I'm pretty serious about this. I don't take it lightly, but I plan on taking my kids to a game on Thursday. And there's one other family that we do some stuff with. We're going, but we have so much space that it's not like, hey, why don't you guys come out with us? They sit far away. We sit there. It's, you know, it's not going to be I feel very safe going to the Skeeters. Honestly, I do because there's tons of space. It's outdoor venue. There's tons of space. They do a thorough cleaning every single game, and they really limit how many people can go in there. So I feel very safe doing that. They have White Claws there, so I think there's somebody who's going to be in the party that's going. Like I said, it's just two families, but one of the adults is probably going to get into a claw. It's dollar hot dogs on Thursday.
Oh, perfect.
And I can bring my dog to the park on Thursday if I want to, but I think Splits is staying home. I don't feel like chasing that rascal around.
They have leashes, you know.
Yeah, you can put your dog.
You can put your dog on a leash.
Why do I want to mess with that?
What do you mean mess with
that? Why
do
I want that heat? Why do I want to have... It's like having one more thing to worry about.
What?
I've already got kids to worry about.
Have your kids worry about the dog. That's what kids are supposed to do.
They're not going to.
What do you mean they're not going to?
Then Snacks is riding around the neighborhood. I thought Splits got out. He's got him hanging in his shirt. It's 100 degrees. His shirt, he's put him inside of his shirt. He's riding around on a bike. The dog's hanging halfway out of his shirt that's been stretched down. The opening of his neck is now stretched out like a giant sumo wrestler. The dog's hanging out. And Snacks is the back of his neck has just been rubbed raw like it's about to start bleeding. I'm like, what are you doing, Snacks? I don't know. I said, you're riding around with the dog hanging out of your neck hole of your shirt?
That's what you should do. That's what you should do.
I can't trust
him. The dog wanted to go for a ride.
I can't trust any of them.
Yeah, well, now his kid got bacon collar. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, put a that's dog exactly in what
your
it shirt, is.
Then your collar gets stretched out.
Yeah.
But then again, it's white.
That's actually
white
more
kids don't care as much.
No, white kids
white kids don't care as much about their t-shirts.
No. No.
Snacks doesn't care about really doesn't care about anything.
Look, I grew up in an area
what
where...
What if he put the dog in the back of his pants? Stretched down?
I don't think that's going to matter.
Okay.
All I'm saying is Snacks would know better, because if he grew up in a different neighborhood and he walked around with a collar, the bacon collar, he would never live it down. So that's what he just doesn't care.
No one's taking
shots at him over the collar of his shirt.
No, nobody's going to do that. No. Not white kids. White kids will always walk around
with
a
bad collar.
You don't see
kids. They live in this little bubble at our house. Like, but hey, what's that? That's a child.
That's a child from a different family.
Oh, there are different families in the world?
Yes.
My kids get to see two families, and that's it. The one across the street. And then even now, that one's a little trickier because their son went back to – he's playing football, and he went back to practice, and now they're practicing. I was asking him, hey, what's the deal with your practice? What's it to – are you guys, like, staying – like, are the coaches real serious about the social distancing and the mask? And he goes, well, they were the first day, but not as much anymore. I'm like, okay, you're not coming to our house anymore.
No. You know what? How about this? How about social distancing with your hair? How about getting a virtual consultation with Doc Linville? You don't even have to go in. All you got to do is talk to the doc. He'll see that. He'll say, okay, turn around. Let me see the back of your head. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Well, you could use me here. Now, there are some instances where you're just thinning, and the doc can help you with that, too, because he could do the PRP. And what it is he shoots his own blood into he stirs it up, and it stimulates hair growth, and he shoots it into your scalp, and this is working as well. So if you got, or you're thinning, but if you're bald, the doc is unbelievable. I loved it. The experience, and I'm telling you, I feel like a different guy with a hell of a lot more hair than I had before. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com, see how easy it is, how affordable it is, and how you're going to love the entire process. It's needle grafting. It's different than they used to do with the cutting and all that stuff. 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
More talk. Less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
748 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Astros sweep this weekend. Beat the Mariners. I don't know if it really counts. If it's the Mariners, but it kind of does.
Kind of counts.
It kind of counts. It counts in the standings. They're in second place by themselves, a half a game ahead of the Rangers, at now 11-10, back over 500. They got Colorado here tonight and tomorrow. Some guys you never heard of pitching, but Colorado is a decent team. So this is, and then they hit the road. So this road trip is ending up, or this homestand ending up tonight and tomorrow. And then they hit the road again. But it's just, these bats are just, it's unbelievable. Presley looks like he might be back, kinda.
I just don't think his breaking pitches look that sharp.
Eight pitches?
Yeah, I mean, just scrub team. But how about scrub again? Got out of it. He got out of a little.
What scrub does?
Did you see the data that they had on that? You were probably watching golf, watching Billy Horschel take on Herschel Smith.
Jim Herman, who is a former Shell Houston Open champion.
Why don't you watch the Astros?
I did.
And check that.
I was watching Kyle Tucker hit one out. Thanks.
Did you see Scrub's numbers? Did you see what they had on that? He's third in the league in terms of breaking pitch sharpness, basically. It's a 10-inch drop. A 12-inch drop is the highest in baseball, and I can't recall who it was. Also, I need you to look at the Alex Smith stuff so we can talk about it in a second. Yeah. But, yeah, Scrub, and then Jeff Blum and Todd Callis were talking about the fact that Strom has already said he's always really liked the breaking pitch, the spin rate, the breaking pitch of Scrub. And that's one of the reasons why he's had some success, I guess, is because he got with the Magic Stromy.
Well, that's it. That's what happens. So you know, 10 pitches is, and 8 pitches the last two games for Presley. Is that enough? Is that good enough for you?
We'll see. I mean, who are they against?
You don't think that the Mariners are going to have a nice lineup in like 6 years? Okay. All right. So a lot I of did. Good.
I'm not quite back on Ryan Presley.
We'll Kyle see. Lewis, ever hear of him? Yeah.
You know, here's the other thing. Paredes, I think Paredes is always going to make you, he's always going to get you excited, and he's going to make you cry, because until he learns to change levels, it's just so flat that he's going to keep throwing 97, 98. He's going to be very enticing, but he's really going to have to learn to be more of a pitcher. Javier, legit excited. Like, I'm excited about the arm of Paredes. I really am.
Yeah.
I'm really excited right now about Javier as a pitcher. Fromber, you know what? I'm in on Fromber. Fromber's been a guy who I haven't been. I'm just like, oh, Fromber. Fromber just looks like a different guy this year, but he's very consistent. Fromber, Javier, I'd love to see a world where Urquidy is a pitcher for the Houston Astros. That'd be awesome.
I don't know where that world is.
It's the same Lance McCullers. He, you know, is going to be high pitch count. He'll be hard pressed to ever get into a seventh inning because the pitch count, he gets a ton of swing and misses. He's got the backdoor, you know, breaking pitch that is just wicked against left-handers and right-handers. He's got a plus fastball. He's throwing it more now. You know, he just from time to time is just going to start missing his spots, and he's going to put people on base instead of pitch to contact. That's just never who he's going to be. But you're right. With that type of starting pitching, if you can get hot again with your bats, or not again, but for the first time this year, hot with your bats, there's no reason the Astros can't make a big run. You're going to give some up with your bullpen, but, I mean, if you're really hitting well, you'll also get some back. You'll lose leads, you'll gain leads if your bats can get going. You shouldn't have to be carried by your catcher. Your catcher and your shortstop shouldn't have to carry your whole lineup.
No. No, well.
And there's no Michael Brantley.
No, Brantley's hurt now and a quad. You know what? This is Quad City now. We're the Quad Cities because we got Russ with a quad. We got flipping Michael Brantley with a quad. And it's like, what the bleep? I mean, here's the deal with this Russ thing, too, is this is a built-in excuse now. I mean, there's a big piece this morning on Mike D'Antoni, and he was with...
John doesn't get the reference.
Quad City.
Quad City DJs, John.
Quad City DJs.
Where I'm from, Illinois, Quad Cities is real. Is a real thing. It's not a DJ.
I'm sure that's... Maybe they're from Quad City, too.
It could be. They could be.
Man, I watched a... Well, it's easy to pull me off target, but because my ADD... But I did see
a tornado show. Well, you need to go get your brain scan today or something.
Yeah, a tornado show on the History Channel, which I was excited about seeing because ever since I was a kid, I had to think. Apparently, one of the worst tornadoes in history was at Oaklawn.
It's in 1960, I want to say 1965.
God, I saw
It took off the high school roof.
Oh, It killed 11 high school kids. Kids were getting in buses and stuff.
It was a couple miles from my house.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, kids were... It killed 11. It had buses were flipped upside down, and these were heavy. They said these buses were like heavy steel buses, and they crushed them like aluminum cans.
Yeah, it was a couple
They showed what happened to Oaklawn.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And there's only one picture of... Somebody got an actual picture.
Took out a tree in our backyard, but we saved... Our house didn't... Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It took a tree out, but it didn't get...
Didn't get the house. Okay. Yeah. But, 1965, or I think that was the year. Anyway, that was terrible. So I don't know what that, that's all about, but
Illinois, that was Illinois.
We are Quad City because of Russ and
Brandon. We are Quad City. But there's a built-in excuse now. So D'Antoni is in Europe with Steve Kerr, in 2004 or something, when D'Antoni was head coach with the Suns, and Steve Kerr's on a recruiting trip where they're looking at players, and D'Antoni says, "We got nothing here. We're just here for appearances because there's nobody here that we want." And he goes, "Well, that guy's good. Yeah, no, that guy's big and slow. We don't want that. That's not what we're doing here. We're not doing big and slow." And that was the start of D'Antoni small ball. And Mike and Daryl Morey said, "You know what? If we're going to do it at 10, let's do it at 11. Let's go Spinal Tap. And we'll push it as hard as we can and to the nth degree." Now, but here's the problem is, if the Rockets lose in the first round here, well, it was because of Russ was hurt. It's not, small ball doesn't work. Small ball is not, that's not going to happen. It's just not something that will work in a 7-game series in the playoffs. It's Russ was hurt.
Well, okay. So I think there's levels to it. If they play poorly, it is going to be an issue. Do you think Russell Westbrook having a quad injury saves Mike D'Antoni's job?
It could extend him a year.
I think 0%. And the two names that have been mentioned, Tyronn Lue and Jeff Van Gundy, already with Houston.
Yeah, but
that came
but
out
they're
the
not
weekend.
But you're going to have to change up the whole team for both those guys.
No. Daryl Morey's the boss of the team.
Well, but wait a minute. But
well, that's why I don't think
how
Jeff
many
Van
guys
Gundy...
are going to go with 6-5 lineups.
Well, what is Tyronn Lue's
champion? He's at least he won
a
title.
Guess what? Tyronn Lue's coaching experience is coaching a great player and letting a great player do whatever he does. There's no Tyronn Lue. Jeff Van Gundy, I don't think could live in a world where he has to play Morey ball. I don't think that. Listening to him talk on television, he doesn't believe in it. He believes the mid-range jumpers need to be part of the game, too. That's why the Chris Paul version is much more what he likes. Tyronn Lue, do whatever you want to do.
I don't want to speak for Van Gundy because we really haven't. I mean, he's said nothing but glowing terms about Daryl Morey and the Rockets organization.
This isn't about Daryl Morey. He has spoken very openly about the concept of the threes and freeze. He's spoken very openly. He does not believe that that is the sole thing that you do. He believes in mid-range jumpers being part of it. And it's not what Daryl Morey believes in.
No, it's not what Daryl Morey believes in.
What Daryl Morey believes in, efficient shots. Well, not only that,
but who believes in the 6'5 center in the NBA? There's one team that believes in this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Teron Lue would do like...
Well,
just
you
give
sure
me James.
Teron Lue would do it too? Because Teron Lue, he won it with the biggest guy, the most unbelievable specimen ever, a 6'8 point guard in LeBron James.
Yeah, that he would just say, hey, guess what he's got now? A 6'6 point guard, a 6'5.5 point guard in James Harden. He'll just say, yeah, do whatever, James.
Yeah,
I'm good, whatever.
But he also had centers. He also had power forwards. He also had... Like a regular basketball
team.
This is not a regular basketball
team.
That was
LeBron's team. You know that just like I do. This is James' team. You know that just like I do.
But James could have a center too.
You think,
he could have a tall guy that could actually get a rebound.
Do you think that Jeff Van Gundy and James Harden would get along? Do you think Jeff Van Gundy would jive with 53s a game and James Harden doing whatever he wants to do all the time? I just can't see it. I don't know. I think he'd have a heart attack.
I don't know that. I think that he would. I think that Jeff Van Gundy would have a heart attack over no effort defensively. Yes.
Well, then add it all up.
But I don't think Jeff Van Gundy would have a problem with the style of offense.
With 48 threes being shot a game or whatever.
And what?
I think he would.
No.
I think he would want to have more say. Here's the problem. Daryl Morey, I think, has a big say in a style of offense that is run, and James Harden runs the team for the most part. I don't think Jeff Van Gundy'd be down with either one of those things. Jeff needs a certain level of control over players and over style and all that. And I just don't see that happening. It's gone in this direction for so long.
Well, that's neither here nor there. The question is whether it's going to be Van Gundy. That wasn't the original question. The original question was whether or not Mike D'Antoni might get another year. And I think Mike D'Antoni might get another year.
So he'd have to be okay with signing a one-year deal because his contract's up.
He did it this year. He's here for one more year. That's it.
Well, that was part of his contract.
Yeah, but they tried to work it. No, he got a one-year deal.
No, he had a year left, right?
No,
they didn't extend him. Are you sure?
Yeah,
I thought
they just didn't extend him. No, I think they did a one-year deal. That was, remember, they had to go to his house. They gave him so much money. They offered him and blah, blah, blah. And he did a one-year deal.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. A $5 million one-year extension.
Yes.
Well, extension, but
with an additional
$1 million
per
round one. He gets an additional $1 million if he wins a round of playoffs.
How about that?
This is huge.
Well, and Russ is screwing him.
He needs to shoot
73s. Russ is screwing him. Hey, here's the deal right now. 8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5. Here's the deal. Is Donnie and Tina lived in their Houston home for over 20 years, but they were ready for a newer, larger home. 3 days, 9 showings, home sold for $6,500 over list price. And you say, $6,500 when you're talking about a house? That's huge. Because first of all, the first listing that you put out there is going to be high. And so when you put that listing out there, you know what? Let's see if we can't get this. Let's just, here, you're throwing up threes from half court. Oh, my God, it made it. Not only that, but it was even further because you got $6,500 more. This is what happens every day with the Lance Loken Group. TheLokenGroup.com, part of the Keller Williams Platinum Group. And it's the number one in Texas by far, number two in the world. And there's a reason why. It's because they do it better than everybody else. An immediate cash offer. If you want an immediate cash offer, you don't even have to go through all of this stuff. You can get an immediate. Lance Loken will make you an immediate cash offer, and you can go. This is unbelievable how good they are. Their marketing system on a whole different level than the average agent in Houston, since he spends tens of thousands on marketing each month to get your home sold fast for the most money possible. If you're looking for the best agent, period, you're going to love Lance. You're going to love the group. You're going to love everything about them because they're going to sell your home. And if they can't, they'll just walk away. But if not, they'll buy it. 281-861-4624. 281-861-4624 or thelokengroup.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.